All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea, you want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or one transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is episode 68, and I am actually recording this on Martin Luther King Day. So I think that's going to be the theme. What would Martin think? Well, at least we're going to start that way. What do I think Martin Luther King would think of us today? Well, first of all, he'd be astounded and proud and floored by Barack Obama being president. I mean, there's a saying that Martin Luther King walked so Barack Obama could run, and he did, and he won. So there's no doubt in my mind that Martin Luther King would feel all the sacrifice, all the work he did was worth it to see Barack Obama as president. And hey, if Martin Luther King were a football fan, I don't know if he was or if he wasn't, but he'd be happy to see that Seattle Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson, a black quarterback, and no one's talking about the fact he's a black quarterback. I think that's great. I think that is huge progress in that area. ESPN did a great retrospective on Doug Williams, the first black quarterback to go to the Super Bowl, the only one to win a Super Bowl. And that was 26 years ago, I think. But anyway, it was a great retrospective, and he said the same thing. Doug Williams said it's great that nobody's talking about the fact that, you know, Kaepernick or RG3 or Russell Wilson or Cam Newton or whatever, they're quarterbacks now, which is what he always wanted to be. So I think that's great. So Martin Luther King would be happy about that. He'd be so disappointed in us, and I say us, I mean the United States, as our Supreme Court and various legislators around the country destroyed the Voting Rights Act, something that he worked so hard to get. We're really moving backwards on that one. He'd be so disappointed that gay people are fighting for the same civil rights that he fought for black people and other minorities. I mean, literally, we're talking 50 years ago, and we're having the same fights over and over again. Racism isn't gone by a long shot. You know, we could go down the line with how many episodes of police brutality or the stop and frisk laws in New York and on and on. That would be horribly disappointing to him. And, you know, today's Martin Luther King Day, so what better day than today for Sarah Palin? You remember Sarah. We know her, we love her, can't live without her. Yeah, Sarah Palin put on her Facebook today that Barack Obama, in honor of, I'm going to try to quote, but it's nonsense, so it's difficult to quote, but Basically, she said, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., who committed to end any racial divide, Mr. President, no more playing the race card. Now, she didn't give any actual example of Barack Obama playing the race card, just sort of threw it out there, you know. If Martin Luther King were around today, well, he'd be laughing at Sarah Palin, too. Yeah, we still do. No more playing the race card. Where'd he play the race card? I. You betcha. Okay, this is what he did say most recently. I don't even know if it's most recently. Yeah, I guess it'd be most recently. What Barack Obama said about race. He said, there's no doubt there's some folks who really dislike me because they don't like the idea of a black president. And he also said, there are some black folks and maybe some white folks who really like me and give me the benefit of the doubt precisely because I'm a black president. So I think he said something that was simple, common sense, and hell, we all know it. Some people like him because he's black, and some people don't like him because he's black. That's playing a race card, isn't it, Sarah? God bless you. Yeah, Martin Luther King would laugh at Sarah Palin. Good to know. So that's where I'm at with that. Martin Luther King, outstanding example of humanity, an outstanding example of America at its best. At its best, we are still capable of greatness. So I love that. You know something? On that note, I'm gonna bring this up. Because you want to know where history comes from. You want to learn something. And you know, my people listening to my podcast definitely want to learn something other than the jokes I'm spewing. I got a new sponsor, Audible.com. Audible.com is a website that you can download spoken audio of books and magazines and all sorts of things. Audible.com carries titles in business, the classics, erotica. That's right, erotica. I said it. History, romance, mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi, fantasy. If it's a category of book, it's a category you can find on audible.com. For example, I was talking about Martin Luther King. You can go to audible.com, download the autobiography of Martin Luther King, narrated by LeVar Burton. I was talking about New Yorker magazine. You can subscribe to New Yorker magazine on audible.com. This is what you do, all right? They're offering you a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo, okay? audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo. Get a free 30-day trial. Get a free audiobook downloaded. Check it out. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. You're listening to me. You can actually listen to some books. You can learn something or laugh about something or just enjoy something. You know, you're sitting in traffic. Hey, listen, I don't know where you're at, but if you're in LA and you're listening to this right now, the odds are good you're sitting in traffic. So why not listen to something from audible.com? All right. Thank you. Now, what else is going on? Well, Chris Christie's into it. You know this, I hate calling it Bridgegate. I will not call it Bridgegate, but this scandal, this traffic mess, his aides and cohorts and cronies, and listen, everybody knows Chris Christie knew about it, right? You know Chris Christie knew about it. I know Chris Christie knew about it. Everyone knows his people did not just go rogue on him and decide they were going to block traffic on the George Washington Bridge without him having any knowledge of it. And if he did have no knowledge of it, he still looks ridiculous because he's the buck stops here kind of guy, right? So Chris Christie's involved in that. But now, there's just so many things that are coming up. Okay, now we have to look at his lieutenant governor, all right? Now she's in trouble. She's she was somehow, and I don't even know how, but she's been involved with threatening the mayor of Hoboken, who's a Democrat, that they would withhold funds from Sandy if he didn't endorse the redevelopment project. Look, this is beginning to sound more and more like The Sopranos, isn't it? Wasn't Tony involved in the redevelopment project? Tony was. And Tony was assigning contracts, right? Tony made sure that Paulie got a piece of garbage, the garbage contract, and that someone else got a piece of the food contract. You know, this is literally Chris Christie is morphing into Tony Soprano. And you better believe if somebody was shutting down traffic on the George Washington Bridge, Tony would know about it and Tony would have to approve it. You don't go shutting down traffic without checking with the boss. What are you, underboss? Listen, you'll be buried under the George Washington Bridge if you don't check with the boss before closing lanes on the George Washington Bridge. Chris Christie, take a note from Tony Soprano. Get to the bottom of this and whack somebody. Well, don't whack anybody, but fire somebody again. I don't know. Just don't hold another press conference and don't bore us for 2 hours with your denials of stuff we know that you know. We know you knew. Well, good luck on that, Chris Soprano. Dennis Rodman is in rehab. I hope you were sitting down when I said that. I know you're shocked. I know you can't believe it. That there was okay, I'm going to use the word celebrity because I don't know what else to call Dennis now. Public figure, diplomat. He did a dumb thing and he's going to rehab. Now, here's the thing. He's going to rehab in Jersey. That's right, Christie. Get on that. Get on top of that. Get ahead of that. You can't have Dennis Rodman leaving North Korea and coming to your state. I think you should kick him out. Block him. Do something. But anyway, Rodman is at a facility in New Jersey going through either a 28 or a 30-day program. Those 2 days must be rough. I don't mean to laugh about it. Listen, if he's got a serious alcohol problem, I wish him the best. I definitely can relate to that. But this, it's, you know, whenever someone in public says something stupid, they go to rehab. And this isn't news to me, but since it's covered as news, since we've decided Dennis Rodman is the most important thing about North Korea, I'm going to cover it on this podcast because I like to stay on top of things. So Rodman's in rehab. Yeah, that's news. Barack Obama has sort of come up with some new rules for the NSA. And the reason I say sort of is it's the NSA. It's a spy agency, right? So by definition, you can't tell us the rules because their job is spying and secrets. So if we know the rules, if we knew all the rules of the NSA, it would be the worst spy organization in the world. Basically, Barack Obama said they're going to cut back on the bulk telephone information gathering. They have these things called national security letters where the FBI, if they suspect you in finance, or they can go, basically, they can go to the bank, they can go to finance, and they can check you out. And they don't have to ask the courts, and they're supposed to cut back on that. And then another NSA plot, I'm going to say, for lack of a better word, plan, involvement. They worked on the cyber companies that come up with security and encryption. The NSA worked on making their encryption weaker so that it would be easier for the NSA to spy on it. You see how that works? So if you have, like, I don't know, like some kind of encryption software, the NSA worked on it not being very good so that the NSA could get past it. That's like devious. That's despicable me. That's just not fair. At least make it fair. If we're going to pay for software, at least give us a fighting chance. But the whole thing, to me, it's funny because, again, you're a spy organization. We're going to tell you the rules of a spy organization? No, we're going to keep those rules secret because we're spies. I don't know. I guess it's something to do. Let's go to the Super Bowl. By now you know that we're going to the Super Bowl. Seattle Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl, played against the Denver Broncos. I think it's going to be a great game. The big hype is Denver has the greatest offense, Seattle has the best defense, and we know Sherman was talking smack, right? The cornerback from the Seattle Seahawks, if you're not a football fan, this guy loves to talk smack. So what he did was he blocked a pass which stopped San Francisco from winning, which made sure his team got into the Super Bowl. And then he described the receiver, Michael Crabtree, as mediocre. And he talked a bunch of hype about how good he is and how bad everyone is. And he's done this all season. And now they're getting on him saying that he's mean, that he's classless. That he's, listen, this man is not a dumb man. This man graduated. He grew up in Compton, right? So they try to throw the thug label on him and blah, blah, blah. But the truth, the man graduated from high school with a 4.2, which is like perfect. And then he went to Stanford. This man is very smart. He knows what he's doing. He's getting the hype. He's hyping his team. He's getting talked about. How great would it be if at one of these press conferences, he looked at the reporters and said, well, you know, I'm smarter than you guys too. Like, how great would that be? Just start talking smack about, really? What school did you go to? Huh? Community college? Oh, good. Because I went to Stanford. So... good for him. Is it classless? Eh. I'm going to give him a pass because it was after the game. He was hyped up, and I don't know if this is calculated or what, but he has backed it up. He has backed it up. He's arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. And if you go back to the original smack talker, Muhammad Ali, you know, when Muhammad Ali talked about being the greatest, he backed it up by being the greatest. All right, so you could talk smack if you're that good, I think. I'm just going with that. I'm backing him on that. Who am I picking in the game? I don't know. I think Seattle's going to win. I would love to see the Broncos win because I like Peyton Manning. I'd love to see him get another Super Bowl, and I think the interesting thing on that is he's had a remarkable season, and if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, the season will be considered a failure. Going to stop right there. This is not the football podcast. That's Time Out with T.O., also on the Sideshow Network, which I'll be part of. Okay, now, here we go. We're going to file this under Captain Obvious. There's a fashion model, and she's writing this diary about her work, her travels, or whatever, international fashion model. She's in Turkey, and I don't know how to put this. Again, I hope you're sitting down because I like to hit you with revelations. But she's in Turkey, and she has discovered that the Turkish men like large breasts. I know. It's unbelievable. Men like large breasts. I'm staggered, too. But what she found in her auditions is that the larger-breasted women get picked first. Now, listen. In the fashion industry, we know about the anorexia, we know about the super skinny, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the men who, there's like seven gay men who decided that, I don't know, in the 60s, that women are supposed to be super thin and look like young boys. That if a woman's not built like a 13-year-old boy, then she's not sexy. They decided that. In the real world, breasts work. But don't ask me, ask the 10,000 plastic surgeons in Beverly Hills how they're making a living. Wow. I'm so sorry, Miss Model, that you found this out. Next thing you're going to find out that women like men tall. That's right. They like tall men. Hey, George Clooney, don't cut yourself off at the knee and modify your body so that you're only 5'2". Stick with the tall thing. It's what women like. I don't even care about models. Of course, I care about breasts. I'm a man. I just wanted to talk about this because it's the most obvious thing that I've ever seen. I can't believe somebody's actually written. And this article is not a short article. It's in the Daily Beast. It's 4 or 5 pages on this. Oh, man. Well, good luck, lady. Hope your modeling career just takes off. Next month is February. You might want to grab a copy of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue and see what men like. And well, the last thing, because, you know, I'm trying to keep this tight and I could go into a bunch of detailed stories about nothing, but here it is. Michelle Obama's 50. Yep, Michelle Obama is 50. She looked good for 50, but she's 50. And you know what she got? She got her AARP card. If you've hit 50, you know this. The AARP starts watching your ass at about 38. About 38 or 39, they start sending you little emails about insurance and about 50-plus dating and about we got an eye on you. And then your 50th birthday comes, and they send you your card. Now, you're not a member, but you're now welcome to join. Of course, now that Michelle Obama has an AARP card, I'm waiting for the Tea Party to call the AARP a leftist socialist organization, what with their Medicare and health insurance and this and that. You know, I'll bet that they say that the AARP is a leftist organization formed by the Obamas when they were about 2 or 3 years old. They've been planning this for a long time, you know, back when they were piling around with terrorists at 7. Congratulations, Michelle Obama. You make 50 look good. This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention. Thank you for listening. Be careful in New Jersey. I'm headed out on another cruise. I will be on the Jazz Cruise from January 25th to February 2nd, so there may not be an episode next week. Following that, February 6th through 8th, I will be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's right, so if you think my life is all about cruising the Caribbean, I'm heading to Grand Rapids. How's that for balance? Thank you.